Hello?
Hello, is this Pepper?
Patricia, yes.
This is Rachel Brown from Gnome Book Writing. How are you?
From who?
From Gnome Book Writing.
Oh, book writing. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
How are you, Pepper?
I'm fine.
I just saw that you signed up for a book publishing services. I mean, a couple of months ago, not right now. I was just hoping.
Oh, I
need it.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
You signed up for a book publishing services. Not.
Oh no,
now,
I.
A couple of months ago.
I published my book a few months ago.
Yeah. So I was hoping.
I was looking for some advertising, but I don't think I want to do anything about it.
Okay, so are you still looking for it?
No.
No, are you saying no?
No.
Why not?
It's just too...
Did you get it from somewhere else, or you're just like,
anymore? I have gotten ripped off or, shall we say, taken for...
So are you done writing the book? Or like is your book ready?
The book is published. The book is published.
Oh, I would like to see it. What's your book?
It's on Amazon. Well.
Oh, great.
It is called Pepper and the Priest.
Pepper
and
the
Priest.
Oh.
And
oh, I'm
I
assuming it's about. What is the book about? Oh, I can see it.
Oh, wait. It's Pepper McMahon, but that's pen name. Well, it's about my childhood in one respect. I was.
Yeah, I just read what is it about. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So sorry about
okay,
it. It seems like it's on Barnes & Noble.
I'm rather pleased with the book, but I have there are so many crooks in this business that I just
why would you say that?
I've taken for money.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you mean? I don't understand. What happened exactly?
Where are you, by the way?
I'm based in New York.
New York.
Yeah, New York.
Well, there was one company that told me they wanted to publish my book or whatever it was, and they told me that they had published Where the Crawdads Sing.
All right. They told you they published it, but it wasn't published.
No, Where the Crawdads Sing has been published, but it was published by a name author. I mean, by... See, I have no name recognition. This is the first time I ever tried to publish anything.
Oh.
So they told me that they had published that book, and I looked... They had a website, and it had a bunch of books on there. Well, these fools didn't publish anything. It was an... I can't remember who published that book, but it was one of those... They can say this is random, Penguin, Random House, something like that. First of all, I'll tell you, right now I have pretty much of the opinion that if you wish to publish a book, you need to have a name author. You need to, have a name that's been published and been well-reviewed and, established. Or you need to have an agent. Other than that, people are just going to try to take you for the money and, offer all of these services and give nothing.
Oh.
I paid $800 recently. There were two scams plus the company that did it way overcharged me. So I said, the hell with that. I was going to publish a couple more books, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to think about it.
That's totally not acceptable.
Because,
I can totally understand.
They tell you all kinds of crap. They're going to do an audio book for me.
All right.
And they, I paid $300. They were going to do a website, and then they were going to do the audio book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did the audio, but, of course, I had to pay up. So I paid them $800.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They came up with the audio book, and it is not a person reading it. It is a robot, artificial intelligence.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was horrible. I'm just saying, my experience has been that these people just lie to you.
I know another
woman, and I told her I might give her my partially finished book, partially written book, I don't know if she'll do anything with it. I doubt that she will because of the nature of it. But, it was... it's a good book, but it was set initially in Utah. I used to live out in Utah for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, for quite a while. I graduated from the University of Utah with my bachelor's degree.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was back to Texas for my master's degree. But it's neither here nor there. And the thing is, and this woman has, I think, her master's degree, and she taught writing and and she's got a couple things published, but I think she's run into much the same thing. And she just says, "Well, good luck with that," you know. But I could write this other one. It's the story of a Mormon woman who I'm not Mormon, by the way. But you have to live out there and know the culture and the people in order to do this book. And I don't know of anybody that is, but I did live out there for about 15 years. This woman, actually, she goes through 5 marriages.
What did she do?
And she gets married 5 times.
Oh.
Which I suppose some people do. That is not, there's a lot of getting married and unmarried. But this one is, it's tied in with the cult of the, because that church is a cult, Mormon church. Although I like it and I love the people, I really love Utah and the mountains and everything.
Okay.
But anyway, she gets married and she always has this stuff that was implanted in her as a child, brainwashed or so forth. I just study up on cults. Well, I was raised Catholic, and to tell you the truth, that's about as bad. But I don't think Catholic is a cult, but I do believe that Mormon is. So I studied up on cults and, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what happens is she is going to marry this returned missionary, and when he comes home, next thing she sees is his wedding announcement in the paper. He's marrying her best friend.
Oh.
And we go through all of the trauma and all of that and so forth, and so she goes out to a truck stop and where she works. Anyway, you don't really want to hear about this one, do you?
No, it's completely fine. It's completely fine.
She goes out to this. She's just barely out of high school, and she was going to have this temple wedding and all of this kind of stuff. And she had waited for him for 2 years, and, it's quite a story. And this is true, by the way.
Oh.
And so then at that, she's a waitress, she stands on a chair, takes a pan and with a spoon and hits the bottom of it. And she makes a traction, everybody. And she says, any guy who is going, whose route, it's a truck stop, whose route takes him through Las Vegas, I will marry him tonight.
Oh.
Well, she isn't even dated. She's really a sweet young girl. And one guy comes up, and he's been divorced 3 times, and he says that he will take her up on that. I don't know if you know Salt Lake City, but it's on I-80, and he says his route's going, he's running on I-80 going west, where Las Vegas goes far south. But if the Reno is okay for her, she would marry him. So they take off and get married. And she's from a prominent family. Her dad's an attorney. And, they take a big, get the highway patrol and everything else out. But they can't stop him because she's just barely 18. Well, but she didn't even know his name. Anyway, that goes through for a while. And then she gets into a really bad depression, and she has to go back to Salt Lake City in order to. But anyway, as it goes on, but what she does, and this is a really kinky thing about it, is that she goes and meets a man in the prison. I was a nurse at the time. I'm retired, but I was a nurse, and I was working on a shift in the hospital, and she called me like at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was on a night shift and told me, oh, no, that's a little bit later. But anyway, she goes out there, and she marries that guy who is an inmate in the prison. And then he gets discharged. This is true. He gets discharged. And, I mean, not discharged. He gets released, and he goes off and runs off with a friend of hers and steals her car and everything. Mm-hmm. And of course, she's pregnant again. I mean,
oh, my God.
That's her fifth baby, yeah. And anyway, she goes out, and so she files for divorce. Oh. And she gets the divorce, and then she has the baby. And then a while yet later, she decides to marry him again. So she goes out there and marries him again inside the prison. This is true. What?
The same guy again?
Yeah, the same guy. Okay. She marries five times, but twice she marries the same man two times, and then the prisoner. Oh. And so after that, she gets involved with a she is there, and her folks are helping her, and you know, whatever, in Utah's a little different culture than you'd find anywhere else in the world. And this neighbor, she's in an apartment place, and she's on food stamps and welfare and everything. The guy comes along, and of course he's younger than she is, and he's being rehabbed from the military for drugs, and this is all a true story. And then Jiggy finds out that they haven't been married but about 2 months, and he starts showing up, and he can't stand her kids and all that kind of stuff. And then she decides that he's done. She gets her kids, throws all of his stuff out in the front yard, barricades the door and everything. She's going to divorce him. Well, it isn't even morning yet, and the sheriff is knocking on her door and banging on her door, and she says, "Go away, you scoundrel." And then her older son comes and wakes her up and says, Mom, that's not him. That is the Salt Lake City police.
Right.
And so she gets up, and what's wrong? The guy he was in drag in a gay bar. I mean, you have to be real touch this subject, real tender now. But I started this years ago. And I'd have to have him selling cocaine or something rather. But he is in drag in a gay bar. And he got into a fight, and the guy had punched his nose, and he was bleeding like mad, and he had just run out into the street, and this was on Second South.
Oh, God.
And he was hit by a car, and so they were coming there wanting her to come and identify his body. I mean, the drama and stuff in here is just amazing, and it is for real. So, anyway, that's the one she marries only once. And then she goes through a lot of stuff and whatever, but in the end, she goes into help and psychological help, and she gets out of the cult and the brainwashing stuff, and she finally reconnects with her parents, and she's out there in Missouri. Yeah, it has a good ending. It has a good arc, and you know, lots of drama. I mean, lots of activity.
Too much drama. I feel like too much drama.
You think that's too much for one book?
I think I want to know the ending though. What happens next? Like, you know,
she goes. I don't really know the ending because I had left. So that part is fiction.
Writing.
But I have.
You haven't completed the last chapter. You're saying.
No, I have given up. That's what I was going to give.
Why?
It
seems like a
well
really,
because.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anyway, the way I have it is that in one of these times, CPS took her kids away from her, and they're with their dad.
Uh-huh.
And he's out there in Missouri.
All right.
I lived in Missouri. I grew up in Kansas, but I mean, I'm using areas that I know where I used to live and everything. Liberty, Missouri.
All right.
He works for the Ford Motor Company, her grandpa. But anyway, he takes the kids and he takes them out there, and his folks are helping raise them and all that kind of stuff. And she, our heroine, then she just has the little youngest one that the prisoner, the inmate, had gotten her pregnant with, the youngest one. Four older ones belong to the first husband.
Uh-huh.
And he has taken them, and they have a good home out there in a little on a little farmette in Liberty, Missouri. The kids are in 4-H and going to school, driving, you know. So she goes out there and she wants to get reacquainted and
it's
all.
A happy ending, right?
Yeah. So she ends up remarried to the first one.
Oh,
and they get out that the first guy that jilted her, they get his obituary or something, and then she finds out from some of her folks, her two brothers, still back in Salt Lake, and they find out that the real thing, which they didn't put in the paper, was that he was a serious drug addict, and I don't know whether he killed himself or what, but so she stays out there, and it takes a couple of years before the first husband will ever accept her and all of the craziness, and she has to go through counseling, and as she goes through, I was a psychiatric nurse practitioner, and so that's why I put some of that in there. She goes through counseling, and then she goes through a couple years of living out there and going through all of that. Then the first husband, the father of the four kids, she ends up remarried to him.
Oh, sounds like a good ending.
Yeah, I think it's a good book, but I'm
not
going to bother
it has,
doing
why
it.
Not?
I was wanting to give it to somebody to write because I have so much story in there.
Ready? You know what the story is. You know how things are going to be like. You know the characters. You know everything.
What I said. I think it would be hard for someone. If I had not lived in Utah, I couldn't have, written it. But I married a Mormon, and we lived out there, and other than my in-laws, I love the people, and I love the, everything. But as far as my in-laws went, I could have been.
Why don't you want to be published? I just don't understand. It has everything, ma'am. Everything. It is.
Yeah, it has.
It is actually very interesting.
I hated for it, but I don't have name recognition, and I do not want to hire an agent and pay.
Why would
you
think that you wouldn't have name recognition? I'll tell you one thing. Once your book is published, you'll go with the marketing thing, right?
I've been ripped off about publication for this book. Like I said, I paid $800. I end up with half of the book, and it's done by a robot.
I'm sorry about that.
I have just sworn off having anything to do with it again. And I didn't get decent publication for my Pepper and the Priest, which I thought was a pretty good book. And I had three sisters. Now, that a lot of that is a true story, but it's my story. Nobody else could have written that book because it was mine. But my mother died. We had seven children between 9 years and 9 months of age. And her sister came and stayed with us.
How does it feel like when you don't have a mother? I do not have a mother. So I know how hard it gets. But
her sister came to stay with us, and she was the Wicked Witch of the West, and she fell in love with a priest because my dad wouldn't marry her. She falls in love with the priest, and of course they got the priest. He didn't like adult women; he liked young girls, 13 and 14.
Are you talking about your dad?
So I tell you, yeah, that's what that's about. And he goes, he actually. With my oldest sister, after I told on him, even the bishop wouldn't help, and he just said that the priest was innocent and that we were all guilty, and he threatened to excommunicate the fathers, and I don't know, but anyway, it was this kind of growing up in that atmosphere. But let me tell you, as far as my older sister, I had two older sisters and one younger. The priest would come over to the school, knock on the classroom door, and say, "I need this girl or that girl from the seventh and eighth grade girls." But, you know, he liked that 13th, 14th, 15th, that Lolita kind of
session. So,
and he would take the girl over to the rectory, and the girl had to. And so I asked Fran, "What did you do?" And she says, "Well, you had to strip naked." And I said, "Your shoes too?" And she said, "Everything," and sit in his lap. And what do you think that a Catholic priest needs to do? And so he has sex toys and whatever that, you know, and then when he's finished with them, he would they get dressed and go back over there. And this was going on he felt horny, two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. And one time, my sister, when he had my sister naked on his lap, his mother, she was a housekeeper, she walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't know this room was in use." And she closes the door and goes out. And here, my 14-year-old sister was there naked and did nothing to, you know, I mean, just shocked.
That's
pretty rough. But that's in the book that is published now. But I haven't gotten anywhere with it. And
that it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. That's it?
Yeah, well, Pepper is just a name. I was a very...
Pepper and Pepper. Yeah, I just saw that's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Right. I was a very precocious child, and I called myself Pepper, you know. And then McMahon. Mahon is... my dad was Irish, and Mahon is the name in his family history. But my name is actually Patricia Pryor. But anyway, neither here nor there. I am done with the publishing thing.
Why do you feel like that?
What?
You have great stories. Everything's ready.
Oh, I don't think so, but thank you. Anyway, thank you. But I am doing a lot better. No, I'm having some, my daughter's looking after me.
But
I am going to be 86
like your
in
book,
August.
The book you just told me about. I think it's already just because of the fact that you had a bad experience, it does not mean you stop writing, you stop publishing. And I'm not saying just because I want you to come up, you know, and sign up with us. It's not
I'm
because
not
of that.
Sign.
I am just saying so
I'm
that, you know, because...
I've gotten burned and...
No, I can totally understand that.
It's
where
just
you're coming
too
from.
Difficult if you were...
Mm-hmm. See, I can totally.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the books. I think they're both. I think both are really good, and I am pleased with the Pepper and the Priest. But I'm just going to begin it and end it there. Did you hear me say I'm going to be 86
in
August? And I am
don't sound
suffering
86.
From the long COVID. And in fact, I found it so funny when I first picked up the phone. I sleep with I had a CPAP, now it's a BiPAP.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got issues with what they call long COVID. I used to be a really highly energized person in my life.
Feeling okay?
That's when I got that got the Pepper from. I was never called Pepper, but I always thought of myself as a Pepper.
What is exactly your name? Though I really like that.
Patricia.
Oh,
Patricia
okay.
Pryor, P-R-I-O-R.
Okay.
And but I'm not going to write.
Why not?
I got another one. I could write if the market wasn't just so horrible. I could write, and I spent 20 years working in a high security prison.
Mm-hmm.
As I was a nurse practitioner, psychiatric nurse practitioner. I prescribed meds and did evaluations and stuff. But that's a case of where you work as like a doctor and get paid as a nurse. I get to take doctor call and everything else when you're a nurse practitioner. But I like that. I would do that again, too. I mean, you know, I don't regret a lot of these things, but I have some really interesting tales and happenings and what about that people have no idea about what goes on in these maximum security prisons. But that one I'm not going to even touch. That one I haven't really developed too well, but I kind of done some outlining of that. But no, I am done with it, the writing thing.
Okay.
But tell me, what is your name?
My name is Rachel Brown.
Rachel?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a lovely name.
Thank
well,
you.
Rachel, how is life? How is life in New York?
It's fine. It's okay. Work, just too much work, I feel.
I know, but I tell you, this country is getting so dangerous with all of
yeah.
the shootings and everything.
I can
It's
so hard, but see, everyone
office.
Has to work for, you know, like I have to work for
no,
my
I'm
living.
Yes, but I'm retired.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
I told you I'm going to be 86 in August. And
you
so
do
even,
not
yeah.
sound 86. Like, you do not sound like someone who's 86. You.
Oh, yeah, I am. I was
yeah,
born in
1937. It doesn't seem like. You sound like someone, I would say, early 40s, late 30s.
Oh, no.
It doesn't seem like I'm talking to someone who's 86.
Well, you sound like a bright young lady yourself, but I am really not going to do anything with this. And it's nice talking with you, but
Pepper, but I feel me. I am not trying
I got. Yeah, I'm telling you.
You know, like I am not doing it just to, for the fact that you know. Oh, I want you to come and do like, publish our book to us.
Okay.
No, that's not the
Rachel.
Plan. Yeah,
the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas paid me $20,000 not to sue them.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to sue them, but that's kind of what paid for my writing stuff with that $20,000. And because if Kansas has the statute of limitations and stuff, and this was, you know, so long ago, but my dad's name is in their archives, so if it would have gone to court. But so many of, all three of my sisters are deceased, and most of the people that were in that time, I don't even know anybody anymore that was living that was back there. Because when you get to my age, a lot of people are already gone.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, that I'm pleased with the book, and it was a cathartic thing for me to write it. I needed to do that for myself and my three sisters and the other young girls that were there. Like I said, for my sister, she died in 97.
Oh, I am so sorry about that.
And I used to have my sister just older than me. We were just a year apart in age, and we were very close. And she died in 2020 when COVID was here. She was only one day short of being, was it 83? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Well, she would be 87. And we used to talk and talk a lot about this. We were a support to each other. And all three of my sisters are deceased, and so many of the people that were alive at that time are deceased. But anyway, I did get $20,000, so that I never would have sued the church anyway. But I used that for my publishing, so I don't feel bad about the money I lost, or you know the
But
I did not understand what the you know publishing would be like or so forth. But I think you have to have an agent now. And then as far as I know, because I've known people that had agents, and they charge you something like $60 a month or something every month. You might be 2 years writing on that book, and you pay an agent every single month. And that's not for me either. So I'm just going to let it go and say it was
I'm just going to say the same thing again. I am not saying this just because I want you to, you know, publish the book through us. That's not the plan. I'm just saying that the book you just talked about a while ago, I found it really, really nice, okay? And I do not want it to be just there like that. I want it to be published. I want people to know.
Well,
because, like, see, it has drama. It has a lot of characters. It has everything that someone wants to read. It targets everything. Like, it targets a life of a woman. It targets a life of children. It targets everyone.
Yeah, and they she gets put through a vicious court. And,
we're talking since, like, what? Since almost 30 minutes. I think you can trust me on that. I have the best team working.
Well,
and you won't have to worry about what you just told me, that they took your money, they didn't do what you want, how things were supposed to be like. It didn't work well. I understand. But see.
Rachel, I don't think anybody could write that book but me, or that, you know, had my output into it, because it's just such a unique story. But I want to tell you one more thing that I had her do. Her parents had pulled her through the bishop's court, and that was very traumatic to her, the church court, if you know how strict the Mormons were and everything.
Absolutely.
And yet all the time her dad was screwing around, and she knew that her dad was. See, that they had, the Mormons had polygamy in their history, and there are some sects of them that are polygamous now, but she wasn't in any of those. Anyway, her dad always thought they should bring back polygamy. And anyway, so after she has her fifth child or whatever it was, and she's had kind of a rocky road with her parents all along, because she, from her elopement and everything else, she feels that she has some need to get back, pay them back for what they have done to her. And I think it was a cruel thing for them to have done, but they had to save face in the Mormon community. And
that's
so they hauled her off and took, anyway, they show up in her house, and they have heard, she's down in Provo and they were in Salt Lake City, and they have heard that by way of the grapevine, because the grapevine is more stronger in Utah than anywhere else. And I mean, I don't know, all I've seen of New York is LaGuardia and JFK.
All right.
That's it. I have not been anywhere else in New York. And just, I've been to, I've been to the Holy Land. I've been to a number of, other places, but outside of the United States. But I have never, as far as New England and all those places, which I think would be really nice, but the whole idea of everything is kind of scary up there for me, a country girl. But anyway, this is something. She's in there, and she's thinking, well, how am I going to get back with my parents, because they have really hurt me, you know, by dragging her through the bishop's court to be excommunicated from the Mormon church. I guess that's a big thing, but anyway, she's at the, I worked in public health for a little while. I picked this up. This is something that never happened, but she's sitting in there. At the public health, she's waiting to get the shots for her daughter, and she sees this tray over there by the computer, and it's got stationery. It says, you know, the public health of the for Salt Lake City or whatever it is, you know. So so she takes a couple of those sheets and stuffs them in a stationery, puts them in her purse. Mm-hmm. She goes home and she takes white out, so she messes it up, so it's not entirely the, it is no longer the state seal, but you wouldn't know that it wasn't. I mean, you know, she used white out, and then she took a Xerox copy of the paper. So it looks like it's coming straight from the health department. And it says, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Jones, or, you know, what her folks' names were, we have a recent client of ours, we have a client, Howard is, you, anyway, they're treating a client who is a very highly contagious case of venereal disease, and you have been named as a recent contact. It is imperative that you show up here, you know, at such and such time. Well, it looks official, but believe me, the health department would not send a letter. They would be on a phone call and get you in there, I mean, you know, right away. They wouldn't, you know, like, give it 2 or 3 days to go in the mail. But it is essential that you come in here and be tested. So the couple goes in there and gets tested. The father is just embarrassed to death, and the mother is totally mortified with all of her, you know, high-stepping Mormon friends and everything. And he has to cough up the names of women he's been sleeping with, even though none of them were, because it was a fictitious person, none of them were this person's name. But in that position, he had to, because he didn't know that they weren't that this was a hoax.
Okay.
And so, anyway, I thought that was, you know, pretty funny. So she acts like she doesn't, but they get excommunicated.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was her payback to her parents. So I think that's ingenious. I think that's,
yeah.
I mean, you never hear of that happening to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the end, she comes back and she's no longer estranged with her parents. And, you know, it's got a lot of meaty mm-hmm. stuff in it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
But I've made up my mind. I haven't trashed all of the stuff yet, but I've been thinking of, mm-hmm. yeah, but it's hard for me to do that. But I wanted to pass it on to somebody that would write the stories. The one of the inmate, the inmate story, and it's all about inmates, and then the Mormon story, and mm-hmm. I wrote the Pepper and the Priest, but I'm not going to. I'm too old, and
you're not old. Stop watching that.
I wouldn't say senile because I don't think I'm senile. But
there is no age
adult.
To publish a book. There is no age to tell people about your life. There is no age to tell people about anything. I feel like that. You tell me if I'm wrong. There is no age for writing a book. If you're good at it, if you know you can do it, you can just write it anytime. Well, I feel it's not.
But
I'm
not going to take on.
Okay, Pepper, let's do one thing. Okay, let's do one thing. I'm going to send you our packages, and you can just check them and let me know. How about that? I know you're not in a mood. I can totally understand you're not in a mood, and I can totally understand why you're not in a mood. But I would want you to publish the first book, the one you just told me about, because it seems...
Oh, the Mormon story?
Yeah. I love it.
I don't remember what I was called. I have a real catchy name for it, which escapes me right now, because you know, mm-hmm. so much has happened because I got COVID and I'm still fighting the, you know, like I said, the long COVID is what they call it. But between the heart doctor, the lung doctor.
It's so difficult for everyone that, you know, they don't do work properly. And then, like, you know, everyone comes in that baggage. See, we are doing things work properly. Just because if something happened, everyone thinks that the whole publishing market is like that, you know, the whole book market is like that. And it's just sad, and I'm just really sad that you went through something like that. Because, like, see, not everyone is the same.
Well,
I mean,
so many
you
kind of, I did not know.
I was trying to understand now the sort of person I am and the sort of team I'm working with. I mean, like, I hope you do, because we're talking since, like, 40 minutes. So, I mean, like,
I must let you go, and I thank you
no,
very
no,
much.
No, that's not
nice
the problem, Pepper. Pepper, that's not the problem. That's absolutely not the problem. I didn't even feel that, you know, 40 minutes have passed. Just saw the landline and feel like, oh, 40 minutes. It didn't even feel like it's 40 minutes are done. But see, I told you already, the book is good. I love the story. And let's just do one thing.
Rachel,
I can't
take up any more of your time. I'm sorry.
It's completely fine.
But you have a nice day.